The message today is watch and pray. So we talked about Cain and Abel. We talked about David and Saul. We talked about Esther or Mordecai and Haman. And then this week we will talk about watch and pray. It's still all wrapped around faith, acceptable faith. Faith that God is requiring from you and from me. And I touched on this, I think, a year ago. But it continues to baffle me and troubles me that Peter, who was with the Lord 24/7, and the Lord said, in a few hours, you will deny me. And he was standing there looking right at the Lord, and they said, you are his, right? And he said, no. It's like the Hmong word, long lia, you know, it's like just zonked out. It's like, wow, you're looking right at Jesus, and you do not remember his word, Peter? You know, it really scares me. Maybe it scares you too. I brought this message with a lot of prayers, and I hope that it will help you. The basis, the foundation, is from Mark 14, 37-38. Mark 14, 37-38. This is when they were in the garden, and the Lord, having prayed once, came back. And then, 37, he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Father, thank you for your love that never fails. Precisely because you knew that our love always fails, that you came so that in you we can claim perfect love. In you we can claim righteousness before the living God. Thank you for the songs we sang. Thank you for mercy and grace. And Lord, thank you for the 5 years that you placed me here. In the name of Jesus, amen. So 5 years I've been here. So you know me, I always go off on a tangent. So here it is. Roberta and Sam will have their twins on Tuesday. Remember to pray for her. She's going into for a C-section. So pray for Roberta on Tuesday. Doctors do these things on a daily basis, but we still want them to do her delivery with love, with care, and not just going through the motion of it. But it was scary, though. I was in the operating room with a doctor who was trying to get me into medical school. They're just joking and laughing. And I thought, well, if I was here, I think I would do it with certain degree of seriousness. But no, they're talking about fishing. This is Iowa, right? There's nothing to do except fishing. So the guy's cutting up the person and is talking about fishing. I said, oh, okay. But pray for her. And I said that it's because we are really growing. I arrived February 29th, Wednesday night prayer. This year there won't be February 29th, so let's not do my anniversary. Because there won't be a 29th this year. But I was thinking about all the children that we didn't have them, and the little one that we did have and that are grown now, like Jane's children, they are grown now, and Stephen and Jen's, they ain't got none, but they have two now. Yet be and Joel, they have three now, and it's multiplying, and it's like, wow, they are growing really fast. And they are growing really fast until the age of 18 or 19. Then it slows down, and I was looking at Sammy, and I just saw her daughter, and it's like, those two are like sisters. And Amy too, and Easter, like they're sisters. Sorry, Amy, but one day you will be much older than Easter.
I hope so.
No, you will. For a long time, it's like growth stopped. And then it hit again, and I will be growing old progressively quick at some point. But if we had been growing, and Zach, I was talking about, because Zach, if we pray on a Sunday like this, and today he came and he was walking down the aisle, and his dad said, yeah, in 2 weeks he'll be a year. And it's like, this is growing so fast. If we maintain that growth rate, I think we would probably live to be 40, 50, right? Because we just keep on growing and we'll hit death very early. Because the body can't keep on growing, right? But in his mercy and grace, he stopped that growth rate at 18, 19, 20. And then for a long time, you look the same. You guys look beautiful and handsome, and you'll look beautiful and handsome for another 30, 40 years. And it's his mercy and grace. Then you are aged. And they won't say to you, oh, you are your daughter's sister. They won't say that anymore, because that difference will definitely come into play. I said all that only to say that there is indeed a God who timed all these things. It is impossible for evolution to know that, okay, I need to arrest the growth at 18 or 19 so that that young girl can fall in love and by 24, 25 have her own children. And for the next 20 years, worry about her own children. It's all mercy and grace. It's not evolution. But we have to put God out of the picture because Adam said we would go our own way. And so we live under that curse. Watch and pray. Back to faith. Back to the love of God. He is so good. He is so gracious. And yet, if we aren't careful, we would say, well, Lord, how then can you allow us to enter into temptation? So we read Mark 14, 37 and 38. But here is the setup. Luke, because Luke is writing to the Greek, to a wider audience than Matthew or Mark, who were writing to a Christian community who knew the heritage of the Jews in Jerusalem, and so they didn't include all the details. But Luke, on the other hand, was writing to a possibly a Greek, he would have to be a believer to fund Luke to write the book, but he was probably a pure Greek and not a Jewish Greek, because his name is Theophilus. But this is the setup. Luke 22:31-34. So they were just got done eating, and while they were eating, right, they had no idea that Jesus was going to go on the cross. They were thinking Jesus is going to be king, and then the 12 would be very important officials in the court of King Jesus. It escaped their mind that it would be Jesus who would say, "You are number two, and he is number three," right? So they were fighting who would be number two. I said that before, because Jesus would be number one. And Jesus is going to die, but they didn't know. And they were fighting to be number two. And so Jesus said, "In my kingdom, if you want to be great, you serve them all." And then he said to Peter, 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But Peter replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." So Jesus just spoke those words to Peter, and then they went into the garden, and Jesus then said the word we read earlier, "Watch and pray so that you wouldn't enter into temptation." But what scares me is that the Lord said, "I pray for you." Having said that, Peter still entered into temptation. And the second part of what scares me is, how could Peter enter into temptation when the Lord already warned him, when all he wanted was to do God's will? And the hidden message is that I need to have grace for you. You need to have grace for me. And you need to have grace for each other. Because even with our best intentions, we cannot fulfill the will of God. Just like Peter. If he was one of us, we might not allow him back. Let's say if I deny Christ like Peter did, would you take me back to be your pastor? You know, that is why I said there need to be grace amongst us. Maybe someone really doesn't want to sin, but he somehow fell into sin. And yes, we need wisdom to bring him back, but we also need grace. That is the hidden message. But the real message is, so the Lord prayed for Peter, and yet he still entered into temptation. For what purpose did God allow that? I really want you to capture this other concept. Satan's request. And then lastly, watch and pray. I need to explain some of the technicality here. The word watch is really being alert, being watchful. Watch like a soldier. So it's not just casually looking around, but is really looking as if your life depends on it. That is the word there. And the word temptation. Perhaps our English word lost some of the Greek meaning. We don't know. But it's a word that means temptation in the sense that we understand it, but it also means tests, trials. And so when we say temptation, then it's kind of like somebody who isn't careful and although he goes to Laos, it never happened to me though, but I just need to use that example. Somebody goes to Laos and he never intended to fall into sin, but people left and right were offering their daughters to him, and he fell into sin. It's a temptation. We think of it that way. But in the Greek, it doesn't just mean that. It could be, I am thinking I still have a job, right? But tomorrow I log on and I couldn't log on at all. And then pretty soon, somebody from HR call and say, Daniel, so sorry, we revised our budget and your department has lost one person and you are the lucky guy. Yeah. The word temptation there is that kind of situation too. And so I now find myself not having a job. It also means that. So when we read, we need to understand what the Lord means. For example, in James 2, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face temptation of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So perseverance is good. So if my boss call or HR call, Daniel, sorry, you have been let go. So that is the trial that James is saying. And James is saying, it's good because it will produce perseverance. It's tough. I've been through that. It's really tough. But the Bible says, if you put yourself in God's hand, then it is good. But James goes on to say, when tempted, it is the same Greek word in the verb form now. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So it's a call to go back to that watch and pray so that I would know if it is a temptation that will eventually cause me to die because I have sin, or if it's a test that will produce perseverance in me, which is good. So it goes back to the watch and pray. Watch and pray. They were all equally tired, right? Jesus, Peter, all the 12 of them. They were equally tired. They walked the same path. They did the same thing every day. Well, maybe talking is tiring too. So maybe Jesus did a lot more talking than they do. But we know that Peter talks a lot too. Anyway, they walked the same path. They did the same thing. They ate at the same time. They took rest at the same time. So they were all equally tired. The Lord Jesus, on the other hand, could measure properly the magnitude of that test. So he was able to enter into prayer because he understood the gravity of the test. Whereas Peter, James, and John, the minute the Lord said, stay here, I'm going over there, I think he took two steps and they fell asleep already. It was late in the day, probably past midnight. They walked the whole day. They did many things. And now it has gone past midnight. Because we knew that when Peter denied the Lord, the cock crowed. And in Hmong tradition, it's around 3 a.m. That first time, it's around 3 a.m. So they hadn't had much rest. They were tired. But the Lord said, watch and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. Why do we watch and pray? Because the flesh is weak. That's what the Lord says. Because you are going to fall asleep, so you watch and pray. It's really completely opposite of our human mindset. I'm tired, so I'm going to rest a little, Lord. But the Lord came and said, no, you watch and pray. Because that's what he did. Another picture that we hardly ever capture is the Lord watched and prayed, and God sent an angel to minister unto him. We are thinking, I'm human. I don't deserve God's angel. You know, God loves you so much. And part of the reason I brought up those children earlier is so you see yourself as a child. So Stephen Vang, as much as you love your sons, your heavenly Father loves you more than your love for your son. Until we capture that, we will never fully appreciate the love of God. Do you know why it's so hard for us? Because we are all adopted sons. Let's say I wrote about a little girl that I taught in second. I taught her in second grade, and if I should have adopted her, it wouldn't really matter how much I loved her until she was able to receive my love and understood that I loved her as if she was a biological daughter. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about myself. Whenever I fell into sin, I said, God, I'm so bad. I can't enter your house anymore. It's kind of like I am reminded that I am not born of God. Can you capture that? It's like God is saying, I know you are not born of me like Jesus proceeds from me, but I have adopted you. Everything I gave to Jesus, I have given to you. But I keep denying that I have received all that. It's like I keep refusing his love. It's kind of like there is still enmity between me and God. I think part of the reason God allows us to enter into temptation, it is so that he can show love to us. Not that he wanted us to be miserable, but we really can't know his love until we fell and he picked us up and embraced us again. It is like that. I have two sons. The first one, if he did something wrong, I would know. He wouldn't feel good until I punish him somehow. Do you have one of those? He wouldn't feel good until he has confessed his sin. And until you are able to bond again. I'm pretty kind, so I would say, son, it's okay. It's okay, I messed up too. But until he himself is able to make some sort of restitution, he doesn't feel like he has earned my love. And it hurts me. Son, I loved you. You messed up. It's okay. I love you. But he, in his mind, wanted to make restitution. Guess what? For me, Christ Jesus made the restitution already. Nothing you can do, nothing I can do, will be better than what Jesus did. And he did it for you, for me. He did it as you, as me. That is the love of God. That love never fails, Shane. Thank you for that song. Never fails. And until we capture that, yes, I am human, and God is holy, and he is worshipped by holy angels, but he loves me exactly like he loved Jesus, even though I am not perfect like him. Capture that love. Capture that love. He demonstrated here for Peter. So for Peter, the Lord said, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. But before that, the Lord said, Satan has asked for you. I want you to capture this concept. The Lord Jesus, though he was in the flesh, he was still God. He could see into the spirit world. You don't. I don't. We don't want to see into the spirit world anyway. Right? His probably scares us. But the Lord does. But he has chosen not to tell us how Satan approached him and asked for Peter. I want to know. Nevertheless, Satan asked. One summer, 1984, I interned in Santa Barbara. I think it's like my second year of seminary, and I came to Santa Barbara to be their pastor that summer. Going back home and then on to seminary, nothing bad about Indians. They didn't have a casino back then. Nevertheless, I still got hit. I got hit by a Indian guy. He didn't have any insurance, so I suffer for nothing. He didn't have any insurance, right? What are you going to do? But we did suffer really bad. We both could have died there. I think God, in his mercy and grace, And perhaps he already thought that he wanted me to be your pastor. He saved me. It was a pickup truck against a Corolla. So the Corolla had no chance. Total, completely. I got a broken rib. And if you see me really close, my head still have scar. There's a spot here, even a little child, if they just barely touch it, it's like it could knock me out. It's like the nerve is just ready to be burst or something's right there. But God saved us. Anyway, when I got home, my dad said, on the day that you had the accident, I forgot what he said that he had in his hand. But he said he had something in his hand. And he put it on the table, he thought. And then he went somewhere and he came back and it was gone. And he wasn't quite sure if he had it and he took it and he forgot it. But in his mind, he left it on the table. And when he came back, it was gone. And his mind suddenly said, the devil stole it. And he said, I should have prayed right there, right then, but I didn't. And it was the day that you had the accident. I brought that to your attention simply to say, we don't know how the devil asks for permission to enter into our lives, to wreak havoc. We don't know. Maybe the devil at that moment, because of my dad's thought that something bad could happen, that was the permission the devil was requiring of my dad. So, I was telling your parents earlier, you guys are programmers, right? You were coding away, coding away, coding away. And suddenly, it's like a vision popped up. My wife is in an accident. You know she is not, but that just pops up. Right there, right then, stop what you're doing. Said, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command your angel to go help my wife. I proclaim the protection of God over my wife. Because you don't know, that might be the moment that the devil is asking you for permission to harm your wife or your husband. Or you're doing dishes, and suddenly you kind of like have a vision or a thought, my child is hurt at school. Well, you know that if she is really hurt, they would have called you, right? But you just had that bad thought. Stop what you're doing. Lord Jesus, I lift up my child to you. I place her in your hands. Send your angel to watch over her. In the name of Jesus, I cast out this evil thing. In the name of Jesus, I cancel this assignment of the devil. You can say that. You can do that. In the name of Jesus, I cancel this assignment of the devil. Do that. It says right here, the Lord said, the devil asks for you. We don't know how. Maybe for you and for me, it is what I just said. Perhaps it is a dream. So last year, a member came to me and said, Pastor, I had a really, really evil dream. And all the Hmong people are saying that it is an omen for something really evil. And so we pray and said, it is bad, but God in his mercy and grace has allowed you to see it. Therefore, we'll pray and we'll cancel that assignment and we'll ask God's protection over you. And nothing bad happened. And it's been over a year now. You can do that for your family. You can do that for your children. You don't know. You don't know when the devil is going to ask you for certain things. And you say, oh, I don't know where that thought came from. Perhaps it is the devil. So that is why I keep saying to you, keep your mind pure. Keep your mind clear. Keep your mind filled with the word of God. Let's say I'm some guy who is lustful. So my mind is filled with evil thing. There's no way I am going to know when the devil is asking me for one of you, my church, or for my kids. Because my head is not clean, right? I cannot differentiate between the evilness from the devil or the evilness that is really within me. So I have to always place myself in God's hand, asking him to sanctify me, and I do my best to stay sanctified so that if the devil throw in a bad thought at me, I know it's not mine. So you do that. You practice that. Back to Peter. I believe that the Lord, when he said, I pray for you, he did not mean that he prayed that Peter would not enter into temptation. But he prayed that while being tempted, his faith would not fail. I think that is what the Lord prayed for. Because trials and temptation are good. It's what separates the child of God from the child of the devil. For Peter, the word there, the devil wants to sift him as wheat. So to sift wheat, your parents back in Laos, when they sift a rice, they would carry it in their basket, lukona, and they climb up on the ladder and they tip the basket over, and then the wind would blow, and so the chaff would fall from the pile of pure rice. In Israel, though, maybe it's because they didn't have a bamboo or wood to build ladders, so. So they just toss up the wheat. Toss up the wheat, and then the wind would blow the chaff away, and the wheat would fall into a pile. And the devil wanted to do that to Peter. It's not very bad, right? No, what is really bad is so that the devil would know which side Peter would fall. If Peter falls on the side of the chaff of the devil, then the devil already got him. And if Peter falls on the good pile of wheat, then the devil would do all that he could so that Peter would then be part of the devil's pile. That is the idea there. So number one, the devil wanted to know where Peter stood. And number two, if Peter was on God's side, then the devil wanted to pull him over to the devil's side. And so that was why the Lord prayed that Peter's faith would stand. And that when he had gone through the testing, then he would strengthen his brothers. And because Peter was a child of the living God, his faith stood. I said to you last year that both Peter and Judas denied the Lord, but Peter came back and became the leader of the church. Judas went and hung himself. So the test separate the child of God from the child of the devil. How do you know if you are a child of God while you are being tempted? What if I went to Laos and I fail? If I'm a child of God, the love of God can still cover me. Pray though, if I do go, pray that I wouldn't fail. I don't need such a battle, right? And it doesn't have to be Laos, it could be here. If you fail, the love of God can still cover you. Like Peter, when we fail, we really wanted to, just like Judas. When I failed the Lord, I wanted to die. God, how can I fail you? Is there anything I could do? And because I'm a child of the living God, he would say, I already cover your sin. I already cover your sin. He will do that to you. You won't be perfect in this life. Your pastor won't be perfect. When you fail, if you could still say, forgive me, Father, he will forgive you. There is a tremendous amount of guilt. And depending on the magnitude of this sin, God has forgiven you, but the guilt lingers on in your head and in my head. And that guilt is what the devil will use against you, against me. But the love of God never fails. If you can still say, Lord Jesus, save me, you are still his child. He loves you more than you love your own children. It doesn't matter what your child does. He will always be your child. Right? Worst case scenario, your child is locked up in a jail cell somewhere. He is still your child. None of us can love him, but you will still love him. Same thing for you and for me. Because we don't want to be locked up in that guilt, right? So the jail cell, in a human sense, translate into a spiritual sense, is your guilt, right? You're locked up in your guilt and you become ineffective in ministry. Nevertheless, God loves you. He wanted to release you from that guilt and come and serve him. He loves you more than you love him. He loves you more than you love your own children. He said, Peter, I pray for you. I pray for you. Does God pray for you and for me? Okay, I won't look. Does God pray for you? Of course he does. On that cross, he prayed for you. He named you and me. Hebrews 11. He is at God's right hand praying for you and for me. So he prayed on the cross and he prayed up in heaven for you and for me. What is the proof? As long as you can say, Father, save me in the name of Jesus, it means he's praying for you. Without that, prayer of the Lord, you wouldn't be able to utter Jesus, save me. It is not you. It is God placing his word in you. So as long as you are able to call on the name of the Lord, you are his child. You are still his. On the other hand, if you are a Judas, you went out, I'm so bad, I deserve death. I'll kill myself. Then perhaps you really are not his. I wouldn't be dogmatic about that, but it is very likely if you do that, you are not his. Because if you are his, you would call on him and he would come and save you. They were all equally tired. And I really want you to capture this. The Lord Jesus prayed, and God sent an angel to help him. It's a picture of what God wants to do for you. The boss is so bad, you wanted to just let him have it and quit this job. No, don't do it. Pray, Father, I need your angel now. I need your help. And maybe a wave of joy will come down from heaven and hit you, and you are able to laugh at your problem instead of cursing out your boss and walked away. You wanted to do that. I want to do that many times. Thank God I haven't done it. What's so bad to say, yeah, take your job. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Pray. Lord, I am at wit's end. Help me. He will. He will send his angel. Perhaps it's a human being who suddenly come and say some nice word to you, or it is the Spirit of God speaking word of comfort to you. He did it for Jesus. He wants to do it for you. You come home and you are hoping to see a smiling wife, and she curses you out. It's time to pray. Lord Jesus, our marriage needs you. Right. Don't curse her back. Pray. An angel will come and will help you. Stand, let me pray. Maybe all this is new to you, and you aren't sure if this Jesus can really do all that. I want to reassure you that without this Jesus, I wouldn't be here. He said, Daniel, you won't die. You will preach again. And so here I am, 5 years into this ministry. Lord, I thank you for the mercy, for placing me in a church where together we have been growing. We've been growing in number, and we thank you for that. But we are so thankful that we are growing in our love for you, in understanding your love for us. We're growing in our being your sons and daughters, the privilege of being a child of the living God. We thank you for that. I am growing through it all, so I thank you. I know that by your grace, many have grown. Many aren't who they were last year, the year before, or 5 years ago. Continue to help us to grow, because Scripture does say that within each one of us, the love of the living God can fill up to the fullness. And also within each one of us, faith can grow to the full stature of Christ Jesus. Lord, I know I'm not there. I know that my church is not there. But thank you for your promise. You are a faithful God. We will grow. We will see your glory. And we will display your glory. And if you desire such a thing and you haven't heard this before, you can say, Lord Jesus, I want you. Enter into my heart. Enter into my life. You are the Lord. I am going to be your child this point forward. And if you have done that, you have been accepted into the family of God. God bless. Go in peace. Amen.